Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Basketball Fiends Podcast, a proud member of the RSKina Podcast Network. I'm one of your hosts, Jesus Acevedo Jr., and I'm joined by the one and only, you can't clone him, Alex D'Aguilera. And I have to say, Alex, I'm a bit jelly of you because you were lucky enough to have a PlayStation 5.
Oh, man, dude, it's been a long time coming. A lot of hard work, a lot of sacrifices. No.
You want to go ahead and, you know, thank your mom, thank your dad, thank your brother, thank the man upstairs. I don't know if you live in the second floor or first floor. Maybe you have somebody upstairs too. I don't know.
Well, we don't really like our upstairs neighbors. But, I mean, yeah, it's so hard to get, you know, any new console or something like that. Like when the PS3 came out, when the PS4 came out, the Xboxes, whatever. But I guess to get into it real quick, it was actually during the Field of Dreams game.
Oh, wow.
When I finally secured it, it was during the Field of Dreams
game. Actually, wasn't it right after we had finished recording last week's episode, right?
Or before, because we recorded. Okay. Yeah, I got it before before we recorded. And I didn't want to bring it up because I was like, it was our first show back after a week. And I was like, I don't want to like just jump in and be like, I got a PS5, you know. So just to hold off, but I was sitting on the couch watching the game and I had my laptop on my lap and then I had my phone on me and I'm just going back and forth between Walmart, just trying to like add it to my cart. And I got it on like the second batch. It put me through like, okay, it's added to your cart. And I was like, okay. Then it went through to the checkout and I'm like, okay, I'm entering my info and I'm waiting to get that notification that like it's out of stock.
Right. Yeah.
Cause I've been heartbroken so many times. Where like I'll start entering.
Let me not set myself up for this, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Like, let me not get my hopes up. And I keep adding more and more of my info. And I'm like, man, like it hasn't stopped yet. So I haven't gotten this far in a while. And then like when I got the confirmation, notification thing.
Yeah.
That your order's been placed. I just kind of sat there for like 5 seconds, just like reading it over to make sure that it was real. Just to make sure that like what I was reading was correct. And then I just like jumped off the couch and I'm doing like all this silent celebration because I didn't want to be super loud. But oh man, I was just more in disbelief. Like, holy crap, like I actually got it finally. So
well, like I said, feeling. I am jelly of you. When are you expected to receive it?
And I think it's October 1st.
Oh, okay. So you got some time.
So since like I'm still in the process of moving, I'm hoping by then like my room will be more set up. Like I have some ideas for it. I'm getting a bigger room. So getting like a nice little desk for it, a nice little monitor. So, you know, making sure that the presentation is perfect. That way when it comes in, I'm ready.
Ready. And you know, I'm sure once you set up your PlayStation 5, you'll be able to stream all your favorite shows, be able to stream some NBA games. And speaking of NBA games, earlier this week, the NBA released their NBA opening week and the Christmas games. And, you know, the upcoming NBA season will be the 75th season in NBA history, Alex. And to kick off the 75th season, the first game is going to be the Milwaukee Bucks and the Brooklyn Nets. And while I would have preferred a rematch of the NBA Finals between the Bucks and the Suns, I'm not upset at seeing the Bucks and Nets as the first matchup. You know, that was one of the best series of the playoffs last year. And it'll be interesting to see a full and healthy Nets team go up against the defending champions.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you always know, like, you know, opening night, opening week, there's going to be some really fun matchups. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see, you know, the Bucks and the Nets, everyone kind of talks about if the Nets were fully healthy or if KD had like a half size smaller shoe.
If he wore a half size, right. No, if he wore his correct shoe size, there you go.
Right. If he wore his correct shoe size, you know, the Nets might have been where the Milwaukee Bucks are at. But nonetheless, I mean, what's done is done. So it'll be interesting to see that matchup. Obviously, you know, like you said, the Nets being fully healthy. And sort of possibly getting a preview for maybe a Eastern Conference Finals matchup, you know, between them or, you know, at some point in the playoffs, you know, it remains to be seen. But I mean, overall, I mean, it just should be fun, man. Opening night, come on now.
Come on now. And then now one other game that I like to highlight on opening week is Dallas Mavericks versus the Atlanta Hawks, which is essentially Luka Doncic versus Trae Young matchup. You know, granted, they won't be guarding each other, but these two players will forever be linked because they were traded for each other in the same draft. And, you know, Atlanta does have the better team, but I still pick Luka over Trae just by a smidge, by the closest smidge, just because, you know, I like Luka's game as an overall playmaker. But look, Trae is the better scorer, simply put. You know what I mean? He carried that Hawks team. Not that the Hawks, like I said, the Hawks have a better team than the Mavericks, but I think that's going to be a good matchup, a good barometer for both of them.
Yeah, I agree with you on that point. I think between the two, Luka is a little bit of the better player. He's a little bit more established compared to Trey. But, you know, this past season was Trey's, like, big breakout year, whereas we saw with Luka and his rookie year. And from then on, like, he's only been in the league, like, what, they were both drafted in 2018?
I think it's their fourth year. I think they're entering their fourth year, right?
Right. So I think, you know, this was finally, like, us seeing Trey Young coming into a zone where we kind of saw Luka do that a little bit earlier. And that's where I think we give him a little bit more of that slight edge, you know, over Trae Young. But I mean, it's right there. Like, now when we look back at that trade, it's like, still so even. Like, whoever would, you know, had it been the other way where Atlanta kept Luka and Dallas kept Trae Young, like, either way, it was going to be a win-win situation. So, I don't know. It's just, it'll be cool. Just two young stars that may eventually be the faces of this league, you know, just going head to head should be fun.
Pretty much. And then going over to the Christmas games. But before I do jump on to the Christmas game, I do want to say I'm not a fan of all the games they picked for Christmas, except for two. And one of them will be the first game that day, and it involves Trae Young, and it involves the Atlanta Hawks paying a visit to the New York Knicks at Madison Square Garden. Now, this was the series that really propelled Trae Young up into the echelon of those great playoff performances of all time. He put on that villain mask, and he owned it. He loved being the villain. So just having him go back to Madison Square Garden, that's going to be a fun game.
Man, it's so, like, just picturesque, if that's the way, if I'm saying it right. You know, just him waltzing into the famed Madison Square Garden and just giving it to the Knicks. Who were once again just heartbroken, but hey, at least they made the playoffs.
Baby steps for the Knicks. That was the baby first steps, step.
Right? And it took a while for that to get to that step, but they got there. But I hope for that Christmas game matchup. You know, it'll be just more of a culmination of just a rivalry between those two teams. I think sort of this emergence of, you know, super teams and all that, whatever you want to call it. We haven't really seen much of, like, rivalries per se. It's just more of, like, the top dogs, like the Milwaukee's and the Nets going up against each other in the East, and then, like, the Lakers and the Suns in the West. It'll be nice to see, like, two teams that sort of have a genuine dislike for each other, maybe even hate. I don't know. Maybe the Knicks hate the Hawks. I would say there's definitely hate on that side, but still, it's, you know, there's going to be some competition there.
Definitely. Now, the second game that is maybe one that a lot of people circle is the Los Angeles Lakers versus the Brooklyn Nets. Now, simply put, that is going to be a star-studded matchup. Six all-stars between them, three on each side. You know, Russell Westbrook, Kevin Durant, James Harden, Kyrie Irving, LeBron James, AD. I mean, that is the matchup I think they'll probably be the highest rated on Christmas.
I mean, yeah. it's like you could just have a 3-on-3 pickup game with those guys, and it would still probably be the highest rated game out of that Christmas list. So, yeah, I mean, it'll be cool to see, you know, these older Lakers, these seasoned Lakers. I like that. That's what I was trying to get at. You know, guys that have been around the block a few times here or there. And I mean, hey, Brooklyn, you know, they got, you know, KD, Harden, and Kyrie. So, you know, they're all set on that end. But I mean, who doesn't love just like a heavyweight bout between like all-stars and all-stars?
No, you know, it has to be said. The Nets are the big three of the Nets aren't as young neither. They're all, I think, early 30s. I think Kevin Durant's 31, James Harden's 32, 31. I think Kyrie's probably 29. So, you know, they're not, you know, youngsters anymore. So, but they're not as seasoned as the Lakers will say, you know.
Right. They're kind of like in that prime
bubble. Right. Prime window, as they like to say, you know. And speaking of the Nets, Kevin Durant was recently on Draymond Green's show on the Bleacher Report Chips, which is on YouTube channel. I'm sure there's a podcast of it. So the former Golden State Warriors teammates, they got into the infamous clip, you know, where KD and Draymond Green, after a Clippers overtime game, after regulation. They kind of got into it. You know, I think that was the game where Draymond Green didn't give the ball to KD, and KD was asking for the ball so KD could take the winning shot, and Draymond Green just fumbled it, and they went into overtime. Now, what was funny, not funny, but interesting, was Draymond Green asked him, you know, did that have anything to do with Kevin Durant leaving? And here's what Kevin Durant said. He said that argument had nothing to do with him ultimately leaving the Warriors. And I quote, "It wasn't the argument. It was the way that everybody, Steve Kerr acted like it didn't happen, Bob Myers and them tried to discipline you. And I think that would have put the mask over everything." So, Alex, I'm not sure if you got a chance to listen to the interview, but that was probably the piece that kind of went viral after the interview came out on Wednesday.
Yeah, no, I did watch the interview. I mean, it's interesting. It's always, you know, I already said interesting, but just intriguing to watch players, you know, talk to each other. You can definitely tell that they're more comfortable, more open, you know, talking about certain things. Like, you know, we had never really heard that, you know, what went on with Steve Kerr and, you know, Bob Meyer handling that situation. So now I'll bring some more perspective, more detail into, you know, what really went down, you know, in the aftermath of that whole argument. You know, we saw the, you know, the face of everything, but we didn't see, you know, what was all behind it. So I find it it's very interesting how, you know, just the way that whole situation was handled was sort of like that nail in the coffin, you know, for KD leaving. And I love the, you know, the comparison he made with The Last Dance, where he was just like, man, I wish he would have just, you know, handled it, you know, sort of like how I was with Scotty when he pretty much like let down that whole Bulls team and sitting on the bench. You know, it should have just been the players coming together, mostly KD and Draymond, yeah, saying, hey, we screwed up. You know, we let this whole team down getting into this and creating all this hoopla, whatever you want to call it. But, you know, hey, you know, water under the bridge and let's get on it. But yeah, it's eye opening to see, you know, the intricacies of how it was handled.
I'm glad you brought up that point, because I had that in my notes about KD bringing up The Last Dance. And he said, yeah, we had that situation where we just handled it ourselves, kind of like how the Bulls handled it. He said, we would have been fine. Something else that I found interesting was Green saying, while they were speaking on that topic, he said, in my opinion, they fucked it up. Meaning the Warriors front office fucked up what the Warriors had between themselves, what the players had, you know. So it was pretty interesting. I know that's another clip that also kind of made the rounds, saying, you know, is Draymond, will he be treated differently now because he just was so open about it? You know, and speaking about that openness, you know, between these two players, you kind of touched upon the subject. There were so many great tidbits in that interview that any NBA fan was just soaking up, right? Because it's things that sometimes players don't share that with the media. And that's why these type of interviews are great, because a player feels more compelled to open up to another player, especially if it's a teammate, as opposed to a member of the media. And KD does answer how his relationship with the media has changed during his NBA tenure. You know, he said that when he entered, he was like, I thought of them as they knew more than me because they've been covering the game so long. But as I've been in this league for now, what, more than 10 years, his perception of the media has changed, you know? So I definitely like these interviews when players interview each other. You know, good on Draymond for getting KD on, and for KD for being so honest in his answers. You know, I think that was one of the things everybody wanted to see is how much did their little fight in that Clippers matchup affect KD's decision. And look, KD said, I wanted a three-peat. I wanted that because that's so hard to do in the NBA. I think the last team that did it was the Los Angeles Lakers, and we haven't had a three-peat since then.
Yeah, I mean, I think with that, you know, tidbit that you mentioned about how KD's perception of the media has changed, you know, compared to when he first got into the league, as to now, you know, I take it, you know, in stride, just as a learning experience, as someone, you know, being super young, getting into this media business, as to, you know, just how to approach those things. You know, you look at, you know, we keep referring to The Last Dance, you know, and Michael Jordan, how he's just so, you know, you saw the flurry of media attention he got during his career, where it's like, you don't blame the guy for not wanting to talk to the media at all, you know, once he retired. And look how long it took for him to finally, you know, really open up.
Yep.
You know, at that, it took years, you know, for that to happen. And, you know, I give credit to players that where they take it upon themselves and say, hey, if I'm going to open up about these things, you know, I'm going to do it with someone that I'm comfortable with. And I think it's a good challenge for the media to, you know, trying to adjust and say, hey, what can we do to better ourselves, to do a better job, to be able to rebuild some of these relationships, some of these, you know, connections with these players in order to not, you know, just to pry, you know, these stories out of these guys just to get, you know, clickbait stories or anything like that, but just, you know, do solid, you know, objective journalist work pretty much.
Definitely. You know, one of the players that recently opened up was Carmelo Anthony. He was on another player hosted podcast, the All the Smoke Show podcast, hosted by Matt Barnes and Steven Jackson on Showtime, I believe. And he was very forthcoming on some topics that fans have always wondered about or you know, just thought about, you know, and he dropped some nuggets of information we didn't know before. The main one was that before the 2003 NBA draft, the Detroit Pistons promised Melo that they would be drafting him with the second overall pick in the draft. And here's what he said: to this day, I still think about that. Those are Carmelo's words. And he followed up with, they promised me, telling him, yo, we taking you. They told him this all the way up to draft day. You know, and they even mentioned, you know, you're going to be sharing playing time with Tayshaun Prince. I mean, if you're Melo at that age and you're hearing all this, you're like, I'm going number two. And then all of a sudden draft day comes and they're select Darko Milicic, which he might be up there as, you know, one of the greatest draft busts in NBA history. But that was something that I don't think nobody knew, that the Pistons had promised Melo, hey, we're taking you.
Yeah, I mean, we all kind of look at that 03 draft, and unfortunately the big, elephant in the room was Darko Milicic, you know, getting drafted number two. And it was just kind of like, oh man, like, why would the Pistons, you know, why did the Pistons draft that guy? You know, like, what, or like, you know, what if they drafted Melo? And then now we're hearing this, like, damn, like, they were actually going to draft dude. And then they flipped for God knows what reason that they flipped last minute. But it's shitty to, you know, to see a team promise this to a 18, 19 year old kid whose dream is to be in the NBA, and for him to go number two to a team that would be eventual champions, and to pretty much just rip that away from him. It's like, you know, it's messed up on Detroit's end. And now I'm just curious, like, what the thought process was on draft night to just say, hey, you know what, let's flip the script and let's pick up Darko Milicic.
Yeah, it's like one of those biggest what ifs, you know, because I mean, if you think about it, if the Pistons draft Melo, that changes his career trajectory and pretty much would have created a Pistons dynasty. Let's remind people, that year that they selected Darko, they went to the finals and they beat the Los Angeles Lakers, who were stacked. They had Kobe, Shaq, Karl Malone, Gary Payton. They just wiped them off the floor. I think they won the series 4-1, if I'm not mistaken. I think three of those wins were by double digits. So, I mean, you think about that. That would have been a dynasty. The potential lineup would have been Chauncey Billups, Rip Hamilton, Carmelo Anthony, Rasheed Wallace, and Ben Wallace. And then your sixth man is Tayshaun Prince. Get out of here, man. That is a dynasty right there. That, you know, so it's just, you know, that makes you think, you know, because Detroit did go back to the finals in 2004. They lost to the Spurs in 7. If they have Carmelo, I'm sure they go back to back. I'm sure.
That was 05 that they lost to the Spurs.
Oh, yeah. Oh, in the 2004, 2005 NBA season. Yeah. So, yeah. But, yeah, no, you know, like I said, it's one of the biggest what ifs. And it's also, I mean, you think about it, and it's like, what was it that they saw in Darko that they say, you know what, let's take him over Carmelo Anthony, who had just won the national championship with Syracuse. He led Syracuse to the national championship. So he already had that, you know, he already had that title. So he already had that championship drive, that championship mentality. And then to go with Darko. And then on top of that, they didn't even play Darko. That's also that, you know, like, so it was a wasted draft pick, a number two wasted draft pick.
Yeah. Well, and I think too, what we have to remember is now we're in the present where we saw what Darko Milicic ended up being versus what Melo ended up becoming. So it's easy to say now, like, why in the hell did you draft Darko Milicic? But we kind of have to rewind to 2003 And, you know, we don't know what these guys would end up being. I mean, I think probably LeBron James was the safest bet to say, like, yo, he was probably going to be good. But at the same time, you got to look at the draft board and say, hey, as much potential as these guys have, like, you don't know what these guys may turn out to be, as talented as they are.
See, and that's where I'm going to disagree with you, because I think Carmelo winning that title at Syracuse really just shot him off the board so much. You know, now granted, there was never going to be any other number one pick but LeBron, you know, but I think that title run that he had with Syracuse, I mean, that title run is still talked about, you know, and so I just think to myself, what I'm trying to put myself in the 2003 mindset, you know, and I think, was it just because they were in love with this, you know, European player? And I think I at the time, more European players were getting drafted, not as much as today, but, you know, it was this mystery, you know, and oh, this guy has the size. And but it just makes you wonder why. Yeah. And like, I wonder if we'll ever get that answer from somebody that was in the Pistons front office, you know, but I don't think we'll ever get that. But it's just, like I said, that is one of the biggest what ifs in NBA history.
Right. Well, that's where I'm trying to get at is, you know, what was the thought process in 03 in that draft room, you know, on draft night, where these guys said, hey, you know what, let's flip the script and let's take a chance on, you know, on this European kid. I forget where Darko Milicic is from.
Croatia, I believe.
He is Croatian. Okay. You know, let's take this, you know, let's roll with this, you know, kid out of Croatia. Who knows? He might be this hidden gem. Well, I wouldn't say hidden gem if he's getting drafted number two overall.
I think he was Serbian. Sorry.
He was Serbian. Serbian. Okay. Serbian. He was Serbian. So I wouldn't say, you know, it's a hidden gem, but, you know, at that time too, I think the big man was still, more, you know, not respected, but just more valued
more
at that
coveted.
Time in the league. Right. More coveted, you know, in the league as opposed to now. It's like, if you see a team draft a center with the number two overall pick now, it's like, what the hell are you doing? Like, unless that guy turns out to be a Joel Embiid, a Nikola Jokic that has that skill set, you know, it's like, what are you doing drafting a traditional big man with that high a pick? So, yeah, I think at the end of the day, it's finding out, which we probably never will, the Detroit side of the story, and saying, you know, how could you promise? And broken promises suck. I don't care how old or how young you are. Like, that's messed up. You don't break a promise. Like, that's just shitty.
More than once, right. They promised them, you know, which is not just once. Oh man, which is when it was like multiple times, you know, that they told them. So
it's one thing to say like, hey, we're probably going to draft you, but it's another saying, dude, like, we're picking you up. Like,
exactly.
And like, then
you're our guy.
And, you know, Melo's in there after LeBron got picked, because we all know LeBron was going to go number one. And he's like, all right, here I come. And then with the second pick, Darko Milicic. And he's like, what? Huh? Like, what? Like, they didn't say that's not how you pronounce my name. And
you know, and speaking of the number two pick and the Detroit Pistons, there was some Twitter beef recently between the Detroit Pistons fan base and the Houston Rockets fan base that took over my timeline, at least for a bit. Now, this all started when Jalen Green, the number two pick in this year's NBA draft, who was selected by the Houston Rockets, said the following in a Yahoo Sports article by Chris Haynes. He said, I wanted to be the number one pick, but as far as... Let me repeat. I wanted to be the number one pick, but as for the location, I didn't want to be in Detroit, Green told Yahoo Sports. I felt a lot more comfortable in Houston. It felt like a real homey environment. With Detroit, it felt like I was just going back to the G League bubble, and I just got out of the bubble. That's pretty much what it was. In the G League bubble, I don't really have anything to do but just stay in the gym. I didn't have any time to get away from myself. The only time I had to get away from myself was in my apartment. That's what it felt like in Detroit. I wouldn't be stepping outside in Detroit. There are not many things you can do in Detroit like that. You're going to stay in the gym and then go back to your apartment. So that big quote, that large, you know, quote, anger many Detroiters, which is what Google says people from Detroit are called. So they took offense to that, and they started ripping Jalen over those comments, to which then Houston Rockets fans quickly started defending Jalen, just talking trash about Detroit in the process, and then Detroit talking trash about Houston, and it just started this whole Twitter beef. So I'm not sure if you saw this on your Twitter timeline, but as somebody who follows a lot of Rockets fans, journalists, press, it was definitely took over mine for quite a bit.
I had heard he had bashed Detroit a little bit. I didn't know that was the exact quote. So I definitely see why there's a huge beef now. Like, that makes a ton of sense. I mean, look, if you're gonna bash any type of major city, like, you know, you're gonna get some backlash. Like, I don't care if it's LA, Memphis, whatever, some small city I never heard of. Like, they're like, people are gonna be like, whoa, like, don't talk about my hometown like that.
Yeah,
like, you know, Detroit people were like, yo, it's the Motor City, like, don't talk to us like that, you know. And I'm not that I've been to Detroit. I mean, I passed through almost getting, you know, almost trespassing into Canada, but that's a story for another day. that's a story for another day. But, you know, Detroit, I think, is a very
proud city.
Proud city, very blue collar, like, you know, very movie. Yes. Like, yo, if you're thinking blue collar city, like, Detroit is definitely up there. And, you know, they're prideful. They're hardworking people, I would imagine. So to hear something like that, it's like, you know, it's like, yo, like, we don't get the love and shine like the New Yorks, the LAs, the Chicagos, the Houstons. You know, we have to, you know, kind of like the Bad Boy Pistons, like, nobody liked them, you know, so we have to grind our way to earn our respect. I can't say the same thing about that. But, you know, when you bash, you know, a city like that, you know, you're not going to get a very nice response.
And it's interesting because some fans went as far as putting Jalen on the top five most hated people in Detroit. And not just putting him in the top five, they put him number one over such people as Matt Patricia, Aaron Rodgers, and I'm not sure what other people were there. But, yeah, he was number one already from the get-go. He passed up Matt Patricia, and you know how much they didn't like Matt Patricia. So yeah, and look, to be honest, I think this is all a bit overblown. Look, Detroit got the premier prospect in the draft and taking Cade Cunningham. Ultimately, I think each player ended up where they were supposed to. You know, I think Jalen Green fits more of what Houston wants to do, and Cade fits more with the Detroit Pistons. If anything, I hope this creates another basketball rivalry, which is, I think, something that we always need more of. You know, one thing I wish the NBA had pitted these two teams against each other in a primetime game. And who knows, we may still get that opportunity, but I would love to see them go up against each other on primetime. And like I said, we may get that because it's the number one pick against the number two pick.
Maybe, but then again, it is the Pistons, and the Pistons haven't been doing much in recent years. Not to bash Detroit, but, like, just the Pistons haven't, you know, have really fallen off, you know, since those 2000s teams with the Chauncey Billups, the Ben Wallaces of the world, the Rasheed Wallaces of the world. You know, kind of like after that squad broke up, I mean, they went from, you know, consistently making it to the Eastern Conference Finals to just, you know, being kind of there, just there in the Eastern Conference, just always just fumbling around in the bottom of the standings, unfortunately.
You know who else was on the top five list now that it's coming back to me? Blake Griffin was on the top five list, which I could see how some Detroit fans would be upset at Blake Griffin, who he didn't dunk for two years, and then he goes to Brooklyn in, like, one of his first games, he throws down a dunk. So I could see where that hate comes from.
Yeah, I guess, man, Detroit's had it rough. I mean, yeah,
they've had it rough. Now, I will say, Jalen Rose said it best. I think it was yesterday or earlier today. He said Thursday, because we're recording Thursday night for you faithful listeners. He said, look, I think that was just Jalen saying that, being competitive, because he wanted to beat the number one pick, you know?
Yeah.
And had Detroit taken him, he would have happily, gleefully gone to Detroit, because he wanted to be the number one pick. He considers himself the best player in the draft. And look, I'm sure now the Rockets will say that. We always wanted Jalen, of course, because now he's your guy, right? So that's why I think we saw just some competitive spirit coming out of Jalen Green. You know, like I said, if anything, hopefully now this creates a little rivalry between Houston and Detroit. Granted, they're only going to play each other twice a year. But I think it'll still be fun, those two games. Now, I know, I'm pretty sure once the schedule comes out, you know, Houston's going to circle Detroit, and Detroit's going to circle Houston. So those will be some fun games to watch.
Yeah, man, create buzz, man. Get these teams going. I mean, Houston's on the rebuild. Detroit has been on the rebuild for a while now. So hopefully with the arrival of Cade Cunningham, man, they can start, you know, becoming that franchise that, you know, was always very competitive in the Eastern Conference. So we'll see. And hopefully Houston can get back to that, you know, making deep runs in the West in a very tough Western Conference.
And look, if they they have a good talented team now with this young picks that they got. But look, we're not talking about the Houston Rockets. We're talking about Jalen Green and his comments with Detroit. But look, that was actually our last topic for this episode. But before we go, Alex, I want to ask you, what are your plans for the weekend?
Packing. Just that's all my weekend's going to be consumed of is just packing. Sleeping in a little bit, catch up on some sleep. Because, you know, working, you get up. Oh, I hope you guys don't hear the vibration of my phone. Yeah, just a lot of packing, maybe, you know, catching up on some sleep. I want to try to squeeze in Suicide Squad.
Oh, finally. Nice. Yeah. You have to watch it before they take it off of HBO Max.
I already missed out on Space Jam. I got to wait for it
likewise,
to hop back on.
Likewise, yeah. Me too. I missed out on Space Jam too. And we actually wanted to make it part of our topics, but we were so busy at the time because at that time I was moving and so I was all deep in packing, you know. But this weekend is actually a pretty fun weekend for me. Every year there's this screenplay contest called NYC Midnight Short Screenplay Challenge. So pretty much what it is you have 48 hours to write a 5-page script, and they give you the location, the genre, and an object. So you don't know what it is until Friday at 11 p.m. Well, you know, midnight for New York time, but it's 11 p.m. my time. So I have 48 hours to write a 5-page script, and I have to turn it in on Sunday. So I try to do this every year just to kind of keep me fresh, you know, keep my creative juices going. And it's just fun, just a fun little exercise. So I'll be doing it with my co-creator for my show, Humans series. We're going to just take this as a little exercise. So something fun. So that'll be what my weekend probably consists of.
And so you mentioned that I actually did a story in college on like a script like that, pretty much almost that exact same type of competition where you have 2 days. But it was, instead of writing a script, they had to produce like a whole like short film in 2 days.
Yeah. I think those are the 48 hour film challenge, right?
Right. Yeah. So the group that I covered, they had a potato masher.
Okay.
They had to make a movie out of like a potato masher. Actually, it came out kind of decent. It kind of like noir-esque type with a potato masher. Like
interesting.
Yeah. It was actually real cool. One guy didn't want to get interviewed, but that was okay. Like he was a little shy. He was a little camera shy.
Oh, come on.
I mean, I didn't want to prime. Like I asked him a couple of times, but he was just like super shy in front of the camera. So I was like, all right, dude, I'm not gonna, you know, I get it, dude. It's not for everyone. But yeah, I mean, I was, you know, just talking with them, and when they said like 2 days, I was like, wait, you're making a whole movie in like 2 days? And they're like, yeah. And we're like, they gave us this potato masher, and I'm like, what the hell are you gonna do with a potato masher? Like, that's just so bizarre. So
see, yeah, and that's why I like these challenges, because you have to get creative with whatever they give you. So it's a challenge, you know. And I would never put potato smasher and film noir together, never. So you know, kudos to those guys.
Yeah. So I mean, yeah, just script writing. That's a work of art to have that type of imagination and mindset. That's got to be something. I've been watching Regular Show again too. It was a cartoon on Cartoon Network, and like just the freaking bizarre adventures they go on. It's like I was watching one episode where they had to pick up donuts, and they ended up getting like so high on sugar that they got like so fast that everything was like super slow, and they ended up in this like other dimension. And it all started off from just like picking up a box of donuts. Like that was it.
There you go. That sounds fun. But thank you so much for listening again to us, guys. Come back next week. Don't forget to subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and we're now on YouTube. This is our second video podcast. But thank you again for coming back, people. Don't forget to subscribe. See ya.
Deuces.